And I have decided this time to take up another subject, which perhaps we can conclude during the next few 45 minutes or so. I have distributed one paper to you today, in which I have done something that is Platonic, not Plato, something that is Platonic in character. Any attempt to conceive universals, any attempt to relate universals with particulars, involves a Platonic exercise. Now you can apply it in many ways, this Platonic exercise. Plato himself wrote considerably on this subject, doing many exercises. For example, at one time he tried to relate truth, beauty and goodness. Truth is universal, beauty is universal, goodness is universal. These are three universals. And then he tried to combine these three universals into a still larger universal, which he called the good. Not goodness, but the good. The supreme universal, the highest universal, in which all universals can be summed up. This also is another exercise you can do whenever you have got time. You can try to relate truth and beauty and goodness. Can there be truth without goodness? Ask this question. Can there be goodness without beauty? Answer will be yes and no. And ultimately you will see that truth is beauty and beauty is truth. This is one of the conclusions that you can arrive at when you reflect very deeply. And similarly you will find truth is the same as goodness and goodness is the same as truth. So you can reflect, this is also a Platonic exercise. Can you be truthful without being just? It is a question of relating truth and justice. Justice is also universal, truth is also universal. Can you be truthful without being just? Can you be truthful without being courageous? Can you be truthful without being courageous? Without being heroic? Then there are questions of what is physical beauty and what is the beauty of the soul? What is the common between the two? So there are levels of beauties and correlation of all of them is also Platonic exercise. You relate one universal with another universal, you relate one universal with one particular and try to comprehend and enlarge yourself. This whole exercise is Platonic in character. Now, a similar exercise I am now putting before you. I have taken three important words: illumination, heroism, and harmony. Now, why have I chosen these three words? First, it is simply because these are three very important words. Many words can be chosen. We have chosen these three. That is one reason. The second reason is that our whole institute is working on a very big theme. We have got 50 researchers at least in Oroville who are working with me on a project of research, and they have chosen this subject to define and to illustrate these three words: illumination, heroism and harmony. For the last few months we are working on it. So I thought that since we are also budding philosophers now, we should also have some experience of participating in this program. Maybe after a year you will yourself begin to write on this subject. There is a very important chapter that Sri Aurobindo has written in the Life Divine. It is called The Problem of Life. This is a subject which very often people speak of. Life is a problem. What is life? Life is a problem. And Sri Aurobindo asks the question, what is the problem of life? So his answer is that when there is a division between consciousness and movement, when the two do not coalesce, then the problem of life arises. When there is a division between consciousness and movement, between consciousness and will, you examine yourself and you'll find there are currents of will and then currents of knowledge, currents of consciousness. When the two do not harmonize, then there is a problem. If they harmonize, the problem ceases. The entire problem of life can be resolved if you can arrive at a point where knowledge and will are in harmony with each other. Later on we shall discuss this question in detail. I am only answering a question very briefly. Then Sri Aurobindo asks a question, how to harmonize the two? How the harmonization between knowledge and will can occur? And his answer is, there are three powers by which this harmony can be brought about. If you increase in illumination, if you increase in heroism, and if you increase in harmony, then by repeated and continuous process of development, you will arrive at a point where there is a harmony between knowledge and will. And when that is arrived at, life is not dissolved, but life is made immortal. There is a continuous process without interruption, without disintegration. It is for this reason that we have chosen these themes, because these three are proposed by Sri Aurobindo to be the alchemy by which the problem of life can be resolved. Therefore, we have asked this question, what is illumination? What is heroism? What is harmony? Now, you will see all the three things you cannot perceive. Illumination cannot be perceived by physical eyes. Heroism you cannot perceive by physical eyes. Harmony you cannot perceive by physical eyes. It's like Platonic statement, similarity, universality and existence cannot be perceived but can be conceived. Similarly, these are three other examples which are not perceived but which can be conceived. They can be experienced but not physically. So there is a perception, there is experience, there is conception. And these three things can be both conceived and experienced. They are very difficult words, and what I have written here is only first draft, because I wanted to do exercise with all of you. If I make a full finished exercise, then you may be led to think that this is final, and you may be obstructed in your exploration. I want to keep it open so that you have full opportunity of correcting it. In your exercise, you are aware that these are incomplete statements. There are defects in this. Now, it is by your thinking that you may arrive at better statements and more complete statements. That is how education should be, isn't it? By exploring, you overcome the deficiencies and arrive at a clarity, or better clarity than what it was before. So I am only presenting to you three what may be called tentative statements which need to be refined, defined further. So let us see now first. You will see that what is stated here may not look very straight either. But let us see how it is, and then tell me how you find it. I am stating first, illumination is ignition of inner light in which meaning and value of substance and life movement are seized, understood, comprehended, held and possessed. I'll stop here, although there is a comma, but I'll stop here at this moment. We shall read again. As I told you, philosophical statements need to be read and studied again and again and again. You should spend at least 3 hours on any good paragraph of philosophical writing. Never be in a hurry when you read philosophy. Novels can be read very fast. Accounts can be read very fast. But philosophy, if you read very fast, it means that you do not understand. Philosophy must be always pursued slowly. Only after 5 years of intense reflection of philosophy can you be enabled to read philosophy fast. If any student says, well, I have read the book, philosophical book, do not trust it. Unless a person has done philosophy for at least 3-4 years very seriously, you can't read a book of philosophy just like that. You must be very patient. Sri Aurobindo said, one of the defects of thinking is to try to arrive at a conclusion as soon as possible. This is the defect of the mind. Mind is impatient. You put a question and immediately it wants to arrive at a conclusion and then do away with it. Problem is over. This is an enemy of real quest of the truth. Real quest of the truth is slow, sure, step by step, gradual. And as you move forward in philosophical reflection, illumination will take place. You can experience illumination only when a word or a concept is held before you. And gradually you grope about it. First you move around, and then gradually you will find that you are entering into the concept or the object. And when you enter into the object, there are many stages of entering into the object. You must have seen many animals moving round and round the object which they want to devour. First of all, they take rounds and then gradually pick into the object. Similar is our case when we try to understand a word or a concept or any object. We go round and round, and then suddenly you find that you will be able to enter into the object or concept. And then first you seize upon it. Then you comprehend. There is a difference between understanding and comprehending. There is, for example, an object is put above you and you look upon it. You are standing below the object. Therefore, when you grasp it, it is understanding. You are standing below, isn't it? So you are understanding. It is quite different when you stand above the object and grasp it. You will find that when you are above the object, your grasp is much greater. The same object, when you stand below it and try to understand it, try to grasp it, it is a very laborious, very difficult, very partial. But when you stand above it, your perception of the object will be comprehension. It will be comprehended. All sides are covered in your vision. So, first there is a seizure of the object, then there is understanding of it, then there is overstanding or there is comprehension of it, then you are able to hold it, and then you can possess it. Merely to keep an object away from you is one kind of understanding. But when you have it in your own hands, possess it, is a greater mastery over it.